One of the issues is where, if at all, do you use radium-223? And I remember we presented a case at the meeting of a patient who had bone-only metastatic disease, who had already been through chemotherapy and secondary hormonal therapy, and the majority of the audience would use it in that situation. Do you use it in that situation?
Well, I think, the practice patterns are changing. When the drug first came out, most of our patients had already seen taxanes, and they were sort of at the end of the road, and they had bone mets, and they were symptomatic, so we tried to use it in those patients. By the way, when you use radium after taxane, you do get a lot of myelosuppression, neutropenia as well, and thrombocytopenia. The grade 3 rate is not that high, but you do see it. And then over time, we've been using it more and more in the pre-chemotherapy setting, and oftentimes, after a patient has failed maybe one of the novel AR therapies and not two or three. I think that one thing to keep in mind is that according to the FDA label and also the reimbursement rules, the patient needs to have symptomatic bone mets, so that's key. If you try to prescribe radium, even for a guy that has 25 bone metastases, if that guy's pain score is zero, and that's written in the note, when CMS or other insurance agencies look at the chart, they're going to say, this guy has no symptoms, he doesn't meet the FDA label. So oftentimes you have to really question the patients and really ask them again and again, are you sure you're not having any pain? And then he'll say, oh yes, it's a 2 out of 10 on the pain scale. And even a 2 out of 10 is enough to justify the quote unquote symptomatic definition. The other way that you can sneak in some radium is if the symptom is anemia. So if the person has a hemoglobin of 9, you can use the myeloproliferative anemia as a symptomatic factor to count the patient for radium.
That's really interesting because, particularly because of the fact that I think maybe some people thought that the benefit is relief of symptoms as it used to be with old radiopharmaceuticals. But my understanding is really the benefit is increasing survival.
Yeah, that's 100% true. I mean, there's no question that some patients do have a pain reduction. It's certainly not immediate, though. Unlike strontium and samarium, which I haven't, frankly, used much based on my age, Neil, when I came into the field, those drugs were not really being used much anymore. And I don't have a personal experience, but what I have heard from my colleagues is that the pain relief with samarium and strontium could be quite rapid. With radium, it's not rapid. It takes a minimum of 2 months, sometimes up to 3 months. And as you know, this drug is given monthly, every 4 weeks. And when I have a patient with pain, I typically don't hear about pain reductions until the second or third dose. But as you mentioned, the key thing about radium is it improves the survival. So it's a bit of a paradox. On the one hand, you want to use it as early as possible, but on the other hand, our hands are tied because we can't really use it in truly asymptomatic patients.